Hey, it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to you all. It is one day out of 365 that we get to give credit to the moms. Not fair, isn't it? Not enough, mom? Yeah? Would you agree? It's not enough. And I can hear your heart. It is not enough because what mom does is amazing and incredible. I've been blessed always, preaching on this, on the Mother's Sunday. It's great. I loved it because it reminds me I grew up and have a really good, wonderful mother, no longer with us. And then up on the screen, I think you can see a little snapshot. I'm being blessed to now live with a household with many mothers. And my wife, the mother of our three children. We're blessed with Melanie as our daughter-in-law, the mother of our three grandchildren. Also in that picture is Auntie Tai Tai. She's so expert in changing tieburst, making bottles, and keeping the kids fun and laughter and bring some joy to these grandchildren. My daughter Jane, they call her Auntie Nene. She has such a warm heart to take these kids to bed when Nana can't, when mom and dad's not around. Let alone my son Dale. He is an all-rounder, very good at almost everything, and so proud of my son. And here I am, I think I'm on a picture. I'm just a dad and a papa. By the way, we have four dogs in the house. So that's probably my responsibility to nurture these four dogs in the house. You know, you might not, maybe some of you have a good, wonderful mother, like I did. Maybe some of you have some household that's similar to ours, that have many people sharing that responsibility in the same house. And maybe some did not. You know, I didn't really get to grasp that until I get into ministry. And I came across some colleagues and fellow pastors, friends who struggled to preach on a Mother's Day because some of them were with the absent mother. Some has no mother and others have an abusive mother. So whatever it is, wherever you are, whatever your experience may be, I just want to say this today, it's a day of celebration. It's not a day of condemnation. It's a day we'll get to celebrate mothers, and we're going to look at it from a biblical point of view, not my saying, but from the scripture. And we're going to look at two women who are sisters, and they got along really well with one another because they were friends of Jesus. So to get the story, and if you don't mind the old man sitting down, my knees are playing up a little bit, is get into this story, very familiar, but let's have a read through the story to get a little bit of the context. Here in Luke 10:38-42, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her." So let's take a look at this very familiar story. Jesus came to a little town called Bethany. She has many few friends. And this guy, Lazarus, was one of his friends. And they dropped by and to visit. And notice in the story here, they came to visit. And Lazarus is not mentioned in this part of the story. But we get to know a little bit and learn more about the life of these two sisters. Okay, the sisters were about as opposite as you can get. Martha is a door. You know, she can't sit still. She got visitors around the house. She'll make sure there's dinner, there's food, water, everything need to be done, clean, get everything ready. And she ran in the kitchen to get organized the supper. She's a type A, okay? Mary is the complete opposite here. She is just a relaxer, someone who just seemed to be coasting along and, you know, just happy to see Jesus. She doesn't really concern about what for dinner. She's not really worried about the dust on the table to wipe the dust. She just want to sit at Jesus' feet and just spend time with Jesus. Which camp will you fall in? Which one would you see yourself agreeing with? You see, you and I, whether you're a man or woman, we have personalities that, like Martha, like Mary, I don't know how many percent that they are. If you measure up, just ask. If you don't know, just ask a partner or someone to tell you if you're 50-50 or you're 30% Mary or 60%. But we do have something of both. And maybe for a season, some of you have to be doing something all the time. You know, somebody showing up, it just drives you crazy that you wanted to keep things organized, you want to keep things ready, like and keep your hands dirty and busy. You are a Martha. And maybe for a season, when some of you will be just coasting along, you wonder what all the fuss is about. You know, just like to take a breath and just chill like me. You take it easy. What's the fuss about? All about? You know, time is only a suggestion. We got all the time in the world. You are a Mary. You see, in this situation here, Jesus talks with Martha. He basically say, Martha, don't you worry. Don't work yourself up. Don't be so worried. Don't be so upset. Just spend some time with me. But notice that Jesus did not condemn her for doing work. You know, she did not do that. He said, just make some time to spend time with Jesus. You know, make some time in all the hustle and bustle for him. He wasn't fussing about Martha and what she was doing. She was just addressing the reason why she was doing what she did. And so in this instance, maybe Mary had it right. So if you're giving out gold star, Mary gets it. Perhaps in this situation here. You know, Martha, I remember a time when we had some family, some friends just dropped by very quickly at the surprise. And I was so excited and I grabbed the key and went outside and I ran and grabbed all the things out of the shelves from all the supermarkets, what I can cook and all of that. I came home that they had already gone. What a poor Martha. Bad plan, Martha. You should have asked her, how long are they going to be there? So I didn't end up spending that time. In this instant, Mary gets the gold star. But you know, this is not the only time that Mary and Martha encountered Jesus. We read in John 11, before we jump into the text, here's what's going on. Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus died, and Jesus was happy to be around, wanting to be around for the family and friends at this time. So we'll jump into the story, starting from verse 17 of John, verse chapter 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in a tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come in the world. And after she had said this, she went back and told her sister, When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. So when she reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. Let's note the story here. Jesus got to talk to both the two women. They both seem to be mourning at this time, the loss of their brother. They are heartbreaking, hurting tremendously. They both basically say the same word, Lord, if only you were here, our brother would not have died. They both believe that somehow Jesus could saved their brother from dying. But Martha takes it a step more. You know, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. She still thinks that Jesus will do something. And she's still very convincing and believing that Jesus, their friend, is going to do something. She believes that he is the Son of God. He can do anything. For this instance, we see Martha's faith a little bit more. She keeps backing and backing. That's not to say that Mary did not have faith. You know, these two completely different personalities just express it in a different ways in these two different contexts. But if we are going to action, we might give Martha the gold star this time. Mary got the gold star in the first time. Second time round, Martha get the gold star. So what does this all mean for us today? Whose side are you on, Martha or Mary? Who's Martha here? No one. Who's any Mary here? No one. You passed the test. You probably read the sermon already and work it out, because here's what I want to say. Keeping score, rewarding gold star, choosing quit sight sounds absolutely silly, isn't it? What in the world would we choose sides with these two women that we find in the story? Choosing sides is almost like condemning one side, isn't it? Aren't we do that all the time in real life? We make up our minds about people pretty quickly. I knew that from day one after I married my wife. She's a clean freak. By the way, don't tell her I knew it. People told me she is a clean freak. I said, this is going to good for me. See? And sometimes, you know, when we do that, we do it in a way to make up our mind. Sometimes it has to do with how we think about something. I knew that early on. I can keep giving her gold star because she'll keep clinging. I keep making mess and she keep clinging. So it works out for me. If we are Martha, we make up our minds about marriage pretty quickly. Now, if you sit down with my wife, Anne, and ask her what she thinks about me, if she's honest enough, this is what she said. He is lazy. Anne, where's my clothes? Anne, can you help put on my socks? Anne, where's the remote control? Anne, can you make me a cup of tea? She does when I say it very, very gently. And he'll sit in the computer to avoid doing any work in around the house. And she makes things harder for everyone in the house. And she probably might say more if you're lucky enough to keep asking. If we are Marys, we make up our minds about Martha's pretty quick too. Oh, she is so obsessive, compulsive. She's got OCD. She drive everybody else crazy, tell us to put our socks where it belongs, pick up the floors on the floor, put clothes on the floor, and tidy up the room. And me and Fatai cop that every week, every day. She will do that, and we just get told all the time. We'll never learn. And she will not lie down to rest until her heart content before she go to bed. But I think we come up with a solution as kids. So we're thinking about this. I think we have some kind of solution that we're going to make up some gold star. And we're going to try and do a deal with Anne and said, Anne, if you sit down and not doing work for 1 hour, we'll give you a gold star. And we keep giving gold star until she hits five. She can get more. She hit five, then I'll give her a present. Maybe I can take her out for a romantic dinner at the McDonald's. I did that once and I was in trouble. Because we both forgot our anniversary. So on that day, we ended up in a McDonald's and it was the best time because we didn't spend any money. So if you can work that out, Martha and Mary, the score is tied, isn't it? It's balance. Both sides see their way of life is best, and both sides see their way as something not best at time. One side condemns the other. So what's the right side are you on? The Marinian or the Marthenian? Which one? How does God feel about this? Which one God rewards and which one God condemns? Let me give you an answer to that. If you go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 17, it says this word, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, Jesus Christ. And Paul reiterated that point once again. He emphasized it so strongly. He said in Romans 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for who? Can we read it all together? Last group of people, they just mumble. Let's read it loud and nicely. Let's read it together. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Let me ask you, are you in Christ? Because if you are in Christ, you are always on the winning side. How cool is that? Whatever your personality, Martha's, if you are in Christ, you are not condemned. Marinian, if you're in Christ, you are not condemned. We all have different personalities and also have different intense tendencies. Some of those personalities need worked, and some of those tendencies need to be worked out of our lives. But when we are in Christ, it's simple as that. When we are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Mothers, I want to say this to you this morning. If you are in Christ Jesus, you ought to have no fear. There's no need to fear of condemnation because of your standing of righteousness before the righteousness of God and because of Christ's work on your behalf on a cross. Let me say this to you, mothers. Even though you may feel that you are not condemned by a messy home. You are not condemned by your personal sins. You're not condemned by your miscarriages, by your lack of desire to have more children. You are not condemned because you're single. Or divorce. You're not condemned by your desire to be alone and being away from the kids for a little while, by your body, your look, which may not be what it once was. You're not condemned by your failures as a mother or the failure of your own mother. You are not condemned by the rebellious of your children. You are not condemned by the frustration of having to scrap some mac and cheese off the kitchen table. You are not condemned by all the fears and tears which take you to that place of despair. You're not condemned by not being able to throw the party for your kids or by your need for a vacation at time. You're not condemned for not living up to the standard of your mother or your grandmother or your mother-in-law that are so beautiful in your life. You're not condemned by the stares of those who have no kids when your children yell and cry and scream in a public place. When you're in Christ, mothers, though you may feel condemned, if you are in Christ, you are not condemned, and this is a fight, as we heard from that song. You need to keep fighting. Fight with this knowledge of what is real. It's a reality. You're not condemned because you are in Christ. Fix that in here and up here. Your identity, your righteousness is in Christ alone. Therefore, I want you to enjoy the love and the affection and the acceptance of being a daughter, perfectly loved with an unwavering love that flows from the motherly heart of our compassionate Father. Why are we not enjoying it? We are distracted with the mentality and what other people try to condemn when we should be enjoying what it is to be a child of God. Being in Christ means your identity is His identity. Your righteousness is His righteousness. You are a child of God because He died for you. His mercy and compassion is what makes you who you are. The woman that is loved, the mother that you always become. Here's what I want you to take away today. Live as one who is being loved. Live as one who is being loved. You know, your love, whether your house is clean or not. You're loved whether you're single, have children or not. Jesus has great affection for you, whether you're a good mother or haven't been there to be a good mother. You are loved. You know why? Because you are chosen. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says these words, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe." Love that idea. Clothe yourself with compassion. Yourself in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But the other Message translation, I love the way he puts it. It says these words, "So chosen by God for this new life of love." If you've been living a life that is not love, you were chosen. If you're in Christ, you were chosen to live a new life of love. Dressed in the wardrobe, the picture of God. A wardrobe, and hanging there this beautiful thing, and invited those who are chosen. As long as we wear this, it doesn't matter what the world thinks, what others think, and what you think about yourself. I want you to dress yourself up in the wardrobe of God who picked out for you compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. There is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. And you know that condemnation stands against the motherly, compassionate heart of the God that you and I know and worship. I'm going to close by reminding you of the song that we heard before, but I want you to keep singing this song deeply in your heart. Make sure it hits the heads and into your heart. that whenever I get to fight voices in my mind that says, I am not enough, remember the next phrase, I now know that I am enough being with my God, enough in Christ. Whenever every single lie that tells me that I will never measure up, add that next line. Well, now I know that I am capable to measure up to the highest standard because I am in Christ. And thirdly, whenever I am curious, wanting to know who I am, remember this, I am chosen, I am a child of God, and I'm loved. Three simple things. I am chosen, I'm a child of God, and I am loved. Write that song in here so that it touches here. Let that be your comfort today. And claim Jesus today. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word of Martha and Mary, just to remind us of who we are before God. First of all, thank you for reminding us that we have both of these two women in our lives. Reminding us there's no condemnation, even when we think so. We ought to celebrate the goodness of God and your calling and your anointing and your work in our lives day and night, because you want to shape us to be that people that are always ready to gloat with the things that we get to learn today. Father God, we just want to pray into, speak the word of Jesus to anyone here. Mother's Day, it's a tough day. I speak peace and love for the mothers that feel a sense of reject. Any mothers that feel they're not worthy of the role that they play. Lord, I want to pray, help us to keep writing those songs. When I feel that I'm weak, remind us that anyone in Christ, we are strong. Whenever we fail to do things that are not right, remind ourselves that in God, it is always right. And so, Father God, we pray. May this day be a new day for some of us. If there's any healing that need to do, that we will pursue that healing, Lord, that comes from you. If there's any reconciliation, any forgiveness that needs to be done on this day, God, take us through whenever that we need to pursue that journey. If there is a need, Lord, for just a humble acceptance, Lord, that we fail and we're too hard on ourselves being a mother, help us, Lord, to put all of that at your feet. Accept us as we are. Thank you. We want to walk out from this place with a head held high, that we are always on the winning side. We are always on the winning side, that there is no condemnation. Help us to claim that. Help us to be the comfort of this day. And help us to accept Jesus and claim him today. It is our prayer we humble before our God who is so loving. Thank you for your word to us this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people say, Amen.